Is society improving or is it getting worse, right? Is humanity, are we getting better? Are we improving or are we getting worse? And the response to that, he asked us to raise our hands, and the response was really split 50-50. Half the people thought that we were progressing, everything was advancing, and things are improving, are going to continue to improve, and half the class thought everything was going, to hell in a handbasket and just getting worse and worse. Now, I think it's an interesting question, and I think maybe how you answer that question might depend on your stage in life. If you're really young and you've got your future ahead of you, you might be a little more optimistic. If you've lived a while and you've seen how things go, maybe you're a little bit more pessimistic about the future. I think it also has to do with what's going on in culture. There's been times in human history when people have been more optimistic and less optimistic. Like during the Enlightenment, that was a time when people were very optimistic about humanity's ability to improve itself, to become better and better. During the time right before World War I, there was a lot of hope in our technology. Technological improvements had gotten to where people thought that we were going to bring forth paradise on earth because of all the technological improvements. But then World War I came and they saw what we could do with our technology in the worst of humanity and seeing destruction like had never been seen before. And that kind of changed the mood. So I think we go back and forth on this, generation to generation. We see this even in culture. Maybe there's no consensus even today because you see some movies that have the future and it's really bright and it looks really optimistic. You see movies like Star Trek. They have a future that's very hopeful about what humanity's been able to achieve. Then you have other movies like Terminator, where we've created technology and it's turned against us and killed us. Or we've destroyed the planet with pollution or whatever, and there's this kind of dystopian view of the future for some people, a zombie apocalypse and all that. Now, I remember growing up, what did I think as a kid? I remember thinking kind of a mixed thing. I think it was a mixed message we were getting growing up in the 80s, because we had all this hope for the flying cars that were sure to come in the year 2000, but we were also worried about nuclear annihilation as it was coming to the end of the Cold War. You've probably felt this back and forth. We're getting better. No, maybe we're getting worse. You look at technology today, and it's changing so rapidly, it's just hard to believe. And we see all these technological advances and think it's a great time to be alive, and I can't wait to see what the future holds. But then we look at things going on in society, and we can't believe how things have just gone downhill. I mean, we're accepting of things we didn't accept even 10 years ago, and now people don't honor marriage as an estate between one man and one woman as they used to. People are trying to make all these different definitions of gender instead of what God clearly says. He created them male and female. We have a devaluation of life, especially life of the unborn. Is society getting better or is it getting worse? The Bible gives us the proper perspective on this. The Bible tells us the condition of this world, and it shows us where hope can be found. And we hear that today in Jesus' words to us, speaking to his disciples, and we are his disciples. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." And then he says, "You are the light of the world." And in those two sentences, Jesus tells us the condition of this world, and he points to where hope for this world can be found. First of all, what is the condition? What is the state of the world? Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Well, for us to understand the condition then of the world, we need to first understand the metaphors. Jesus is talking about salt, and we know what salt does today, but maybe you don't appreciate how salt was used back in Jesus' time. It was used for flavoring as it is today, and I can't imagine a world without salt. I put salt on everything. I love salt. But salt's not just about flavor. Back then, they also used salt for preserving things. They didn't have refrigeration. So salt was how they kept things from decaying. It was a way to preserve. Of course, we understand the metaphor of light, but I don't think we appreciate it as much as the audience here when Jesus spoke this may have appreciated it. Because when we turn out our lights at night, it's still kind of light. You know, when the sun goes down, there's still light. We hear a lot about light pollution. You can't really see the stars as well because there's so much light. So even when it's dark, it's not really dark. But back then, when the sun went down, it was dark. They didn't have electricity. And so when you light a lamp in a room, it would really help out. I mean, it was either pitch black or you see the light from the lamp. And so without the lamp, there was no way of seeing anything. So if we, the followers of Jesus Christ, are the salt of the earth, if we are the light of the world, that means that this world without us doesn't have salt, doesn't have light. Therefore, the condition of this world is that it is in decay and it is dark. That's the condition of the world. It is decaying and it is dark. We know this already. Scripture is very clear about it, that this world does not operate according to how the Creator designed it. It is fallen. Humanity is in rebellion against its Creator, lost that relationship that Adam and Eve had. And since Adam's fall, we have all been in this fallen state of decay and darkness. And so, as God's people, we should not be surprised at the things we see happening in this world. I mean, we should be concerned, but we shouldn't necessarily be shocked when we see bad things going on in this world. Yet we forget, I think we really forget the state of this world at times. And we forget that it's actually in darkness and in decay and full of sin. And sometimes we have those moments of hope for the world, that things may be improving, and then something happens to disappoint us, and then we can become deeply cynical. I mean, for instance, you can have maybe there's a politician that you've kind of gravitated to and you hope that they are present, or you're happy with whoever the president is and you think that they're going to be the answer to all of your problems, and then when it turns out they don't do everything you hope they would do, then you become deeply disappointed with them. Or maybe you just think that life, I think we all are kind of guilty of this living in America, we live the American dream and we sort of assume life should be relatively smoothly. There's going to be some bumps here and there, but life should be relatively smooth, and then when difficulties arise, we don't know how to handle them. Or we believe that life is about maximizing pleasure and minimizing pain, as if pain can be avoided. And then when we forget that these things are real in this world, and then difficulties enter our lives, pain enters our lives, death will enter our lives, and we just kind of forget that that's just the way things are because of the fall. We forget the state of the world. It's dark and it's in decay. And when we do forget, we become surprised by the lack of morality, the lack of civility, when really we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. We act like we didn't see it coming. And then when we get disgusted with everything, I think then our tendency is to just try to say, well, forget it all, and then we close ourselves off and we don't want anything to do with the world. But you see, we can't expect too much from the world, nor can we shut ourselves off from the world, because Jesus is very clear. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It means we are the solution to the decay and the darkness. That's what Jesus is saying. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. That brings me to the second point. What's the solution? The solution is right here. We are the salt. We are the light. Now, how is it that we're the hope of the world? Well, it's because we follow Jesus. We belong to Him. We are His ambassadors to those around us. The world only knows Jesus through us. So we know where hope is found. We know that Jesus is the one who has come into this world to save this world, and we can point others to salvation in Jesus Christ. As God's people, we alone do this. We alone are the salt, and we alone are the light of the world. Did you know that this world is actually a better place because you're in it? This world is a better place because you're in it. That's what Jesus is saying. You are the salt. You are the light. When we live our lives that show others that we know Jesus, when we live differently than others do in this world, when we don't participate in the things that other people are doing, or when they see how we react to some difficulty that enters our lives, that we have this hope that they can't grasp, they see something different about us, it has an impact on them. Now, Jesus uses the metaphor of salt and light, but to help us to really drive this home, I want to use a different metaphor. Everyone here knows what a thermometer does, right? A thermometer takes the temperature of the room. A thermometer is influenced by the room, and that's all it can do is take the temperature of the room. And you know what a thermostat does. A thermostat can actually change the temperature of the room. A thermostat influences the environment. So what are we as Christians? Are we thermometers taking the temperature of the room, or are we thermostats? Are we influencing the room? See, that's what Jesus is telling us. We are to be the ones having an influence on the environment around us. When we live lives that honor God and our very presence, see, in our presence in those situations, it reveals things. It brings to light things around us. We by our presence, we reveal dishonesty in business. We reveal gossip in the workplace. In school, we reveal bullies, right, on the playground. We reveal corruption in the government. We reveal devaluation of human life in our society by our very presence in this world. Just by living according to the truth, we show others what's right and what's wrong. And more importantly, by our presence, others learn who Jesus is. It's easy for us to get caught up in the world, to forget that this world is actually dark and decaying, and that we are the salt and the light. And all of us from time to time have chosen to be thermometers and just take the temperature of the room. We've chosen to blend in. I mean, we know that the Christian message is not always popular to those around us, so sometimes we kind of clam up. We blend in, and we just distance ourselves from everything. We don't want to be influenced by the world, so we just kind of shut ourselves off to the world. But Jesus has called us to be different. We are called to be salt and light. And because Jesus has said that we are salt and light, then it's true. Because if Jesus says it, then it's true. Jesus says then that it's absurd for us to shy away or to clam up. He says it's absurd to be saltless salt. It's absurd to be a light that doesn't shine. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a stand, and it gives light to all the house. You see, you are light. Because Jesus has said so. Because Jesus is the one who lit you. And Jesus doesn't light us so that we can shine, so that we can hide our light. He says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, after this world fell into sin, into darkness and decay, God didn't become cynical and say, oh, forget it. He sent Jesus, who is the light of the world. He's brought us into that light. We have that light in us now. He gives us that light so that we can shine brightly in this world. Do you know what had to happen for us to have that light? Jesus, the light of the world, came into this dark world, and the people in darkness rejected the light, and they put the light of the world on the cross. They nailed him to a cross. And Matthew tells us, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land as Jesus hung on the cross, and he cried out as he was covered in the darkness of our sins, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The darkness looked like it had overcome the light. It looked like the light of the world had gone out. And his body laid in a grave for 3 days. And David says in Psalm 16 that the Lord would not let his Holy One see corruption. His body would not decay. Instead, he rose from the grave and the light burst forth from the tomb. And now the cross that was darkness at that time is now the light that shines forgiveness. It shines the love of Christ into our lives through God's Word, through His Supper, through baptism. The light of Christ's forgiveness and His love comes into our lives so that we can shine the light of Christ around us. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been lit. Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And as we live in the tension of being God's people in this fallen world, we get our strength from the cross. Centering our lives on the cross, we can serve others and we can love others in ways that we never before imagined. Instead of becoming too enchanted with this world or becoming disillusioned by this world, we know the truth. It is dark, it is decaying, but it is also a world that Jesus has died for. When we see that we are connected to the cross, which is our source of hope, we don't place our hope in this world and we don't turn our back on the world. Instead, we shine the light of Christ in this world because we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. This time I invite you to stand as we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.